It's the Gadget Grill for April 19th, 2009. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark. Good evening and welcome to the Gadget Grill on this Sunday, April the 19th.
It's a bit cold and windy out there.
But it's nice and warm and cozy and toasty here in the studio, isn't it?
Yeah, if you end up falling asleep, I think I might have a... Well, I'm going to blame the heating, but it'll probably be my boring voice keeping you asleep.
Is that it? Or maybe it's the boring show.
We're not boring. We're good. No. We
have an exciting, action-packed show for you tonight.
Yeah, we're blowing stuff up.
I've got absolutely no idea what's on the show. You better tell everybody what we're doing tonight.
Tonight we're talking, actually, we're not blowing anything up, sadly.
What do you think this is?
We're Mythbusters?
We're Mythbusters.
Yeah, we've got the budget of Mythbusters per show.
Right.
Tonight we're talking about solid state versus hard disk drive. So the difference between a new hard drive technology, solid state, which is built off of memory card technology.
Yep.
And comparing it to hard drives, because some of the things we're seeing this week in testing is just some amazing differences that are really going to start taking effect. And the cost differences are there, but we're going to talk you through it and tell you what's basically coming up and how you can actually improve your laptops and even your desktops now with this technology.
Yeah. How deep are your pockets?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there are some ways around it, and I'm actually going to touch on that. There are some interesting ways around the solid-state drive dilemma.
Excellent. What else are we doing?
We're also going to talk about some news. There's been some huge news this week, some with major ramifications. If you don't know what we're talking about yet, the preview of this is the Pirate Bay lawsuit, which we touched upon early this year and I think late last year when news was coming out that they were being sued. We're looking at this in more detail tonight because it's just really important to talk about.
I think so too.
Yeah, we're also going to look at Geos, which is a fairly new operating system. I know it sounds like a boring topic to talk about, but in retrospect, it's actually an alternative to Windows. It's free. That looks a lot like macOS.
And it makes your computer run better.
In fact, if you have a slow computer, laptop, and you're looking at a way to improving it without having to, you know, upgrade the memory, this could well be it. So that's what we're talking about tonight.
Okay, well, that sounds like an action-packed, thriller-minute Gadget Grill tonight.
Are you poking fun at me? Are you making fun of this list? I've worked so hard for the last 10 minutes before we put on
the
show.
Is that the sort of thing a caring father would do to his son?
Are you a caring father? Am I really your son?
Good. Well, yes.
Have we got confirmation on that?
No, the DNA test. The DNA test
came back negative and you threw them out, right?
No, that was my brain scan negative.
That at least makes sense. We've got all that and more actually on the Gadget Grill tonight. But first, here's some New Orleans funk. Some of the best New Orleans funk. This is Dumpster Funk with Living in a World Gone Mad. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. If you want to hear more of, if you want to hear more Radio 2RDJ shows, head to www.radio2rdj.com. And if you want to find more about the Gadget Grill, which is us two fellows here talking in the studio right now, head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au. Right now we've got the news.
We have the news indeed. This is all the news that's fit to print and then some.
Wow, you're just really making it cool today, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm such a cool guy.
Yeah. Everyone at Lizzie's found you ultra cool.
I know. Yeah. It's the face made for radio.
It's the ice pack that you wear around your head.
That's what it must be.
Yeah.
The UK has structurally flawed data protection and privacy laws.
What does that mean?
Which allowed secret internet snooping trials to take place. And the European Union now is stepping in to try and force the United Kingdom government to take action.
Okay.
What happened is that in August last year, the European Union was not happy at how the UK handled secret internet snooping trials by BT and Form. They basically started doing tests of... snooping on seeing who was accessing what websites without telling anybody that that we're looking at you and checking on what you're doing. And that has violated the European privacy laws. And they're trying to get the British government to do something about it. The European legislation, the European government said, we're not satisfied that the UK is adequately protecting citizens' data. There is a structural problem. We wouldn't use that word unless we believed it was a serious case, a European Commission spokesman told The Times. The end result is that the European Union has started infringement proceedings against the UK government, which gives it 2 months to respond before things potentially get moved to the European Court of Justice as a breach of the EU Data Protection Directive.
Okay.
The European Data Protection Directive. I wonder what the hell that means.
DPD? I don't know. Does it come with an acronym? No? DPD?
Not yet.
You can make one up for it. Well, while you make
EU
one up...
EU DPD...
No, it doesn't really work. Windows 7. Okay, Windows 7 news. Here it is.
Ready? Okay,
Windows 7, here you go.
Sit down, people. This is exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Windows 7's release candidate has what looks like a release date. May 5th, 2009. So,
2 weeks
away.
2 weeks away.
Yeah, that's a lot sooner than Microsoft suggested it would be.
I was expecting it, I think, on May the 7th, so that's 2 days earlier than my expectation.
I was kind of hoping it would be a birthday present for you. Now I actually have to come up with a different present for you, so damn.
Well, I could still just wait and download it on my birthday.
You could. There's also news. There's an official release date for Microsoft's Windows Mobile 6.5, which is the replacement for Pocket PC devices for running 6.1.
I thought that was iTunes.
No. You're thinking of iPhone. No. What's cool about it is that it'll have a Zune-like interface, so it'll be the one thing out of Zune that Microsoft got useful, I guess. That was useful from it.
Be afraid.
Look, hopefully it'll be better. I mean, that's always...
By definition, it probably will be.
I mean, okay, no, this is what I mean, because the older version of Windows Mobile has always had the problem of looking too much like Windows and being very daunting and a pain in the ass to use, to be honest. And that's why everyone, HTC, Samsung, have always had to, Sony as well, always had to come up with a different way around it, you know, by coming up with a shell. So Windows Mobile 6.5, May 11th. Don't know if you'll be able to get it on your phones by then, but, you know, live and hope.
Ah, well, I should try and see if I can find it as a development environment emulation so I can actually start developing for it.
Yeah, you do that?
I will try and do that. Let's see what happens. On the subject of being an early bird, ITY reports that the early bird gets its worm, that phrase took on a whole new meaning over last weekend as Twitter received 4 separate attacks from malware and it compromised a number of user accounts.
Okay.
Sources are attributing the attacks to a 17-year-old U.S. prick. Sorry, hacker.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I don't consider that sort of thing as a nice... That's hacking in a really bad form.
Yeah, it causes a lot of problems and it causes a lot of inconvenience and expense.
Look, hacking can have some really good educational values. This is not one of them.
No, it's not. You know, people who do this sort of thing, they should be taken out and... Well, yeah, let's use the Texas...
No, the Texas solution.
Let's just shoot them because they needed to be shot.
No, no. Look, basically, they can have their own thing happen to them. Have their own systems hacked. I mean, this is not nice to people. People Twitter don't deserve this sort of thing. Well, maybe some do.
Well, yeah. But that's not the point. The point is that it causes a lot of inconvenience and a lot of needless expense. And the people who do it, well, they're just as bad as spammers, really, causing all this.
No, they are just as bad as spammers. Yeah, actually, in some cases, they're worse.
I think we should spam the hackers and hack the spammers. How's that sound?
It sounds like too much effort, to be honest. Instead, do you have any more of the story? Or do you want
I do.
Oh, okay.
They
weren't done?
No, of course not. No. As I said, they received 4 separate attacks. Saturday last week, around about 2 a.m., compromised about 90 accounts. That apparently kept the Twitter team busy from 2 a.m. till about 11 a.m., so there's 9 hours that they won't get back again.
Yeah.
Later in the afternoon, a second wave of the worm hit, much more intense. They contained that situation eventually. About another 100 accounts were compromised. They identified and secured the accounts. They also identified and deleted malicious content that could work to further spread the worm, and there are another 2 attacks on Sunday.
All right. Exciting stuff.
Yeah, I thought you would be.
It's one of those exciting
news.
Oh,
here's the best part. Oh, a 17-year-old hacker, name of Michael Mooney, has reportedly taken credit for the attack.
How nice.
Michael Mooney, you're a prick. Yeah. Go and kill yourself.
No, don't be that mean. That's terrible.
I'm being nice.
No, don't be mean. That's terrible. You can't tell someone to kill yourself on the air. That's terrible. That's terrible.
If he does that sort of
thing. No,
damage.
Look, no, that's terrible, okay? Take it back.
Kiss my ass, Michael Mooney.
That's a bit better. Yeah. Jeez, Dad, don't you trying to take us off the air for crying out loud? Okay, well, the most important news story of the week is actually one where, Dad, you can express some anger for the Pirate Bay founders, a torrent site. Quite a lot of the content was illegal, but a lot of it wasn't on the Pirate Bay torrent site. The four founders, have been sentenced to prison, for 1 year prison. They'll also be forced to pay $3.56 million to the entertainment companies after their release.
Of which they said they're going to pay none.
Yeah, and there's an appeal pretty much expected, I think now, actually probably tomorrow, but they were sentenced to jail for providing a website, and this is the quote, for providing a website with sophisticated search functions, simple download and storage capabilities, and a tracker linked to the website, and that apparently helped users to commit copyright violations. It's really dangerous wording, because providing a website with sophisticated search functions, that's Google.
I was going to say, yeah.
If Google can technically link to a torrent file, well, then that's the same thing as providing access to a simple download, and Google provides storage capabilities on their own server. Is that saying that possibly almost every web directory offering services? Is that saying that if I upload files to Hotmail or to...
Well, obviously part of the Pirate Bay relates to the content that they were linking to. And Google do take, and a lot of other sites, of course, do take pains to make sure that the content that's being linked to is not content in which
but
others
there's
hold
no
the
way
copyright.
You can be aware of it at all times in the day.
Well, of course
day.
Not.
It gets worse because, I mean, look at the sites like Rapid Share and Easy Share, all these services that allow you to upload your files. And what if you upload files that are deemed illegal to your host? One of the topics we're actually going to get to in the next week or two, which is helping you to back up your information. What if your ISP deems that, or someone else deems that, as illegal information? The same thing popped up, a few years ago when companies Disney started swarming on people who named their video files Snow White, their kids in things, and started saying, hey, you're uploading and sharing an illegal file, and they were just renaming their videos of their kids to things that they hadn't come in with movies.
Yeah.
It's pretty crap. Interestingly, there was a political protest in Sweden. Hundreds of young people dressed as pirates waving the pirate flag protested the decision.
Army hatties.
Arr. Yes.
Arr.
Well, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's...
That about sums up the news, but that's probably the most important news story of the week.
That is a vitally
yeah.
important story.
And it sets a precedent for a ruling like this. Now, not just torrent sites, but search engines and anything sitting under this ruling, which, you know, is pretty damning, have to look out. It was interesting, though, because they apparently, the founders, heard about this ruling before it was actually given to them, and they made the comment that it's not just movies you can get before the release date, it's also the rulings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What next?
We've got a song. This is the David Bowie song, Under Pressure, done by Keane or Kian. I actually don't know how to pronounce their name, but they're English and I know they're good. So this is Under Pressure.
I would call them Keane.
Yeah, so would I.
Breakfast with a Difference, tune into Ian and Dee Dee's Breakfast Chill on 2RDJ every Monday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m, broadcasting live right after the BBC World Service.
Listen to a beautiful blend of New Age, meditation and reflection, as well as news talk, health and well-being, entertainment and some fun and games.
As a mix of music from hot to chilled, contemporary to classic.
Tune in and chill out every Monday from 7 to 9 a.m, 2RDJ 88.1 FM.
We'll put you in the mood.
Jazz. It's not for everybody. It's better than that. Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, and right now we're talking about something that, you know, might cause some people to tune out, but hopefully it doesn't. We're talking about solid-state drives versus hard drives.
And this may get a little bit technical, so please bear with us we try and remove the jargon.
We're going to try to make it less technical. So, we've got a basic hard drive, which is a drive that has moving parts in it, and these have been around for how long?
20-odd years now, yeah, in various configurations. Like longer than that, but in the current sort of configurations we see, around about 20 years.
And hard drives, because they have the moving parts, often
fail.
Well, they fail, and they often require larger amounts of power than what we're actually talking about now, which is going to replace hard drives soon, solid-state drives. Now, a solid-state drive has a lot in common with the memory cards that you use inside your phones, your cameras. They're basically static memory, more or less. So these things are going to become huge, and you're already beginning to see them make their way into computers. Some of the MacBook Airs have them. There's Toshiba, a Dell. Unfortunately, one of the downsides of these things is cost at the moment.
They are not cheap.
No, in fact, for the price of a 64-gig solid-state drive, you can often end up with a 1-terabyte hard drive. That's just the a minimum.
I think you'd end up with more than 1 terabyte.
Yeah, you probably would. The price difference is pretty significant and the amount you get. However, it's not just about storage. It's also about using power. And we tested a couple weeks ago the new MSI Win, the U115, which is a netbook similar to the ones we actually run here at the studio, the U100s. It's a netbook that uses a combination solid-state drive and hard drive system. And it uses this by having Windows installed on the solid-state drive, which allows you to, you know, have less power with it, and
It uses less power, and its speed of access to the data on the storage device is a lot quicker. So it's a faster system, it'll give you a faster startup, and it'll use less power, which means that if you're running on a battery, it should, in theory, last longer.
And in theory seems to be more than just in theory. In testing, in practical testing, we found that on that computer, left the hard drive on, you had 8 hours of battery life, turn the hard drive off, it doubled, or almost doubled, to 15.5. So it's proof. Now, in this sort of situation, we're talking more about netbooks, but on laptops in general, but if you're looking at putting this sort of technology inside your desktop, or if you're going to build your own computer, if you're putting it inside of a laptop and you don't want to open up your computer and replace the hard drive, which anyone can really do, you can actually get the memory sticks, or not Sony memory sticks, but SD cards, or
the sort of memory that your computer takes as its native memory.
Yeah. Or, no, I was going to suggest actually using solid SD cards, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
I was going to use SD cards and install your operating system on that and run it off of something like that.
Okay, yes. So basically the sort of memory card that you might put in your camera is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
And have that as your boot device for your computer. And we've done that as well.
We have. However, if you're looking at a way of, instead of saving, or instead of spending rather, the $200-$400 that a small solid-state drive will get you on a desktop, if you want to make the switch to this sort of technology, which is quieter, uses less power,
runs cooler.
Yep. Absolutely. There are some shortcuts for desktops, and these shortcuts exist for laptops, provided you're willing to open up your computer and void your warranty. And one of these solutions is to actually get a bridging converter for something like your motherboard, which allows you to put in something like compact flash cards. And compact flash cards are relatively cheap now. You can pick up, 16 gigs for about $50 to $100 now. And say you pick up a few of those and stick it with a bridging connector, you've gotten yourself a pretty large amount of space for less price than the solid-state drive would ever have you.
Okay, now you've got to be careful with some of this technology, because while the sort of memory card that you put into your camera is non-volatile, what that means is that you can turn off the power of the memory and what's on the card stays there. The memory cards that actually go into your computer, the normal memory cards, are what's called volatile memory. What that means is that if it loses power, then the whatever is on in that memory goes bye-bye. Now, you were saying, Lee, that there's some technology there that keeps the cards powered?
That's right. Well, it's not so much it's powered. There's a gigabyte solution called iRAM. And the idea is it uses the it has four slots and allows you to essentially install information to these cards. Now, to all these sticks, and it uses the sticks of memory as if it were as if it were actual a hard drive.
Proper storage.
It's it runs on a similar speed to SATA, so you get 1.5 gigabits a second. And it takes up a PCI slot, so as long as you've got several PCI slots, you can do this. And of course, you do need a fair amount of money. We're not talking about a small solution here, but it has a battery.
Why does it cost money? Because ordinary memory is fairly inexpensive.
Oh, you still have to buy the actual card.
You've got to buy the actual card. And that is not cheap, then, you're saying.
Yeah, I'm saying over time. Like, you can get memory cheap these days, but the card itself plus the memory.
Okay.
In the end, it's probably more expensive than the Compact Flash PCI bridge option.
Right.
But I'm not really sure. However, it has a battery, and that's what keeps it powered.
So what happens if the battery loses power?
Then you lose your information. It gets better. If you've put 2 gig in here, and you add more memory, the memory gets wiped because basically like changing the configuration of the RAID system.
I was just going to say. Yeah. So it doesn't sound like it's an ideal solution yet for me. That technology doesn't sound like it's ready for prime time yet.
Yeah, apparently it's got issues with DDR2 as well, which is sad because almost every memory you buy these days is DDR2 or DDR3. So, the technology itself has got a fair way to go. But solid-state drives, they're here to stay, and they're going to get better and better.
And they're
going
to get cheaper and cheaper.
In fact, if you look at the cheap Zeus E's, they ran on solid state. The Dell Mini 9, that runs on solid state.
4 gig in a $200, $300 computer, that's pretty good going.
Well, considering that some of them are really low speed. But sometimes you don't need that speed.
No.
Anyway, we got a song?
We have indeed. This is Lemon Jelly.
With Go. This is the Gadget Grill on, 88.1. Did I screw that up? I possibly screwed that up.
In a word,
yes. This is the Gadget Grill.
You're allowed to screw things up. It is your show.
It is my show. You know.
God knows I screw up things often enough, so
why not? You did a few already tonight. Yeah. Thanks for that.
My pleasure.
You know, and we apologize for the technical nature of this show. We'll be back next week with a less technical show.
You want a bit.
No, I'm going to try and make it least technical as possible. Right now, we're going to talk about an operating system that's free, user-friendly.
I like that price.
Yeah, you like that price. Well, Windows is expensive. Windows is what? Somewhere between $100 and $400.
Depends on which version you buy, but even
that's the
more
problem.
Expensive.
There are lots of versions. It's really hard to work out which one. In Mac OS, you have to have a Mac to use it.
Yes.
Yeah. Comes
free with your computer.
Does come free with your computer. But if you upgrade, you have to buy a new version. So tonight we're talking about GEOS, a operating system which is technically called Good OS, which I think it means it's good. Anyway, it's a
Somebody thinks so.
It's a version of Linux. But powered by the Ubuntu distribution of Linux, and it's basically a combination of the look of Mac OS, the power of Linux, and the control or shortcuts of Windows. It's a really cool thing.
That sounds like a mess.
Yeah, well, no, it's not. That's the thing. It's really amazing. And I put it on my girlfriend's machine this weekend, basically because as a netbook, and a low-powered netbook, Windows just doesn't cut it, and it shipped with Windows. So we had to work out a way around this. And GEOS 3.1, and they're quoting as Linux for the rest of us, which is actually a good way of wording it, is certainly it.
Okay, well, how... Okay, tell us a little bit about it first, then I'll ask you a couple of questions.
It's basically an easy distribution of Linux that resembles Mac OS. You have the dock at the bottom, which is a sort of dock. It requires access to the desktop. You get multiple desktop panes. It runs your regular Ubuntu stuff. And the actual distribution comes with OpenOffice, Skype, Gmail, information run through Prism menu system, so you can access web pages without... basically loading up Firefox, and it's a 700 meg download, just like most of the other Linux downloads, but it's very simple. Try it out before you install it, and it's just really good. And battery life, we've been playing with the laptop, we're getting at least half an hour more than we were getting under Windows.
Okay, that's good. That's all very good. Mm. Now, the Ease generally came with either Windows or they came with the Zandros version
of Linux.
Now, Zandros, how does this compare to the Zandros? Because okay. I thought the Zandros was particularly good.
Well, the Zandros Linux was more like a tile-based Linux system. You know, you clicked on the menus.
Yep.
And that was kind of cool. But this is more like...
It's certainly easy to use.
It's very easy to use. This is more like a Mac OS version. If you could take a Mac OS desktop, taskbar at the bottom.
More graphically...
It's more like using Windows with Linux.
Okay, that's... Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
you can see a picture of this. I wish I could hold this up to the microphone.
You should hold that up to the microphone so that our listeners can see that.
That's right. We should put up some screenshots of this because it's actually a pretty impressive-looking thing. It comes with the... On netbooks, you can't really use this, but if you've got a better hardware, you can actually use multiple 3D pane switching, so sort of like CoverFlow, but with...
Okay.
So it's using similar technology to Mac OS. It's very impressive, and I guess the unfortunate side, being an Ubuntu or being Linux, you don't quite get the same amount of programs, but it has Wine pre-installed as well, so you can install Windows programs.
Most Windows applications, and they'll run.
Well, for instance, it comes with Picasa installed under Wine.
Okay, that's interesting.
And it works really well, and even on these 900 megahertz networks.
For the listener who doesn't understand, Picasa is a photo processing application
made by Google
that runs under Windows.
That's right.
So if that comes with that installed and it runs under Linux, then that is what I would call a good thing.
And it's quite surprising because even though it comes with Google's widgets and gadgets and whatnot, it runs them better than I found them on the Macs we have, to be honest.
Interesting.
It's a surprisingly good operating system. It doesn't require a lot of resources. You can install it on basically any computer.
So I should maybe throw it onto my...
I think you should throw it on your small E as well. Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Might be worth having a play with.
I think it's worth a lot of people having a play with.
I could certainly throw it onto a spare SD card.
Absolutely,
and go that way.
And use the same stuff we were talking about before.
Yep.
We got a song. We got an Australian song because we, you know, keep the Australian content quota up.
Absolutely.
This is Eskimo Joe with a song that is very special to me, or it will be in October. This is New York. This is the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ.
What's the joke? Did I miss something?
I didn't want to screw it up again. I was trying to contemplate, do I say this is the Gadget Grill? Do I say 88.1 Radio 2RDJ?
So what you're saying is in not wanting to screw it up again...
I screwed it up.
Well done.
Yeah, I'm on fire tonight. But I suggest you put me out.
Yeah. I'll put you out with the cat.
With the cat?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Whatever. And we're going to talk briefly...
It'll do the cat some good. It'll be good for the cat.
Yeah, right, okay. I'm not going to take that somewhere.
You had an interesting day on Thursday. I was travelling.
I had a good afternoon.
Okay, you had a good afternoon.
Yeah.
I was driving down to Canberra and I couldn't attend this. Tell me about the party you went to.
A little party I went to. It wasn't a party. It was a launch for the new Nikon D5000, which is, in my opinion, a bad name for the camera, considering what it's up against. But the D5000 is a new digital SLR that has a video mode in it, 720p video mode, so shoots in HD, not full HD, and allows you to take some pretty impressive shots at the same time. And it's got some interesting features like an 11-point autofocus. It's got face detection. They've taken the technology out of their point-and-shoots and adapted it for a digital SLR.
So that as you point it at a face, it can find the face, recognize it, and use that as a focusing
exactly,
point.
And it will even track movement. Like if you're trying to take a picture of your dog, if you've taken a few shots of it...
Or your two-year-old running towards you.
If you've taken a few shots, it works out the relationship between the head and works out who you're actually trying to follow.
Which
is interesting technology.
That is pretty interesting technology.
More like
yes.
a digital camera, digital point and shoot, you know, the little small ones. It's got a flip down LCD, so you can now actually take a picture of yourself using a digital SLR by pointing it at you.
Okay, so using live view or the video mode, you can actually hold it away from your face and use the camera with the electronic viewfinder. I don't like electronic viewfinders,
This was actually really impressive, and it didn't need the...
not a lot of lag on the viewfinder?
No, virtually no lag, to be honest. And it didn't have the problem. You know how we often see that they all come with screen protectors?
Yes.
Well, this doesn't need the screen protector. You just fold it back around and put it in so the black plastic is facing outwards.
Okay. I think our old 5700.
5700 did that, and a lot of cameras do that today. And this was a good... You know, it was a surprisingly good camera. I'm not, you know, pricing, don't know, about $1,500 with a lens.
That sounds a little bit expensive me for what it is, considering it's an upgrade to the D60.
Especially considering that it's going to compete with the 500D from Canon. It'll be curious to see what each of these perform like.
Okay, it's also, remember that the price that they gave you was the recommended retail
price,
which is not going to be the street price.
Recommended retail price is very rarely street price unless you go to a few very irritating stores.
Yeah. Which we won't name.
We're not allowed to name on the radio. We're not allowed to do some things on the radio, Dad.
Oh, okay.
Some things on the radio we can't do.
Okay.
But some things on the radio we can do are things like giving you a hint of what's coming up next week.
That's a good idea. What are we going to do next week? Do you know? Do you
have a clue? No. I think you do, actually.
Okay. We're going to talk about off-site storage,
storage.
We're going to talk about using your ISP. If you're listening on the internet or if you have an internet connection, then you're working through an internet service provider. And your internet service provider will generally provide you with web space. But you don't always have to use that for your web page, and a lot of people don't. You can use it for other things as well, and we're going to talk about how you might make use of that.
And a quick suggestion, we're not saying you should go do this right now, because if you do and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to end up making your files available for everyone to see, which might land you in the Pirate Bay sort of hot water.
It might indeed.
You don't want to do this. So we'll see you next week. We'll sort of see you next week. We'll try not to make a complete ass of ourselves next week.
We will try very hard not to, but we usually fail at that.
Yeah.
My name is Gary Stark. I'm going to say goodnight from the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM.
Don't I get to say goodnight?
You get to say goodnight now.
Oh, cool. My name's Lee Stark. I'll see you next week, Australia or Sydney or wherever you are.
This is Solomon Burke
with I Need Your Love in My Life. See ya.